So good morning. This morning we're going to continue in Romans 8, 28 to 30. I know last week I touched on 28. I was trying to get into 30, but kind of got halfway into 28. So Father, we thank you for this morning. As has been prayed, Father, that we would not harden our hearts. And Lord, that we'd be obedient to your word, be actually doers. We just wouldn't be just hearers, but we'd be doers of your word, applying the word to our lives. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're speaking to us even right now. And we just pray for all those who aren't here today. Pray, Father, that you would bless them, encourage them, you would strengthen them, procure any mercies, Father, for them as well. Father, we thank you that you're here. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to teach us. I pray for a teachable spirit for all of us, Lord. Amen. So as we continue, the scriptures I have up there are in the New King James Version. As we read, we'll just read. This is Romans 8, 28. It says, "For we know..." And I just, even if your Bible, if you underline "we know," because what do we know? Hopefully a lot of things about who the Lord is. And do we know him personally and intimately? Do I know him personally and intimately? Because sometimes, like I shared last time, we become religious. And we just come to church every Sunday, and then we just feel good about ourselves for a bit. But do we know him? Do we spend time with him throughout the whole week? So do we know him? Do we know his character? Do we know who he is? Is our relationship growing with him? So we'll continue. So we know. We know that all things together work for good to those who love him. So this is for the believer. So if we love him, if we know him, and this is for the believer who love God. So we know what's going to happen. He's going to prepare us. And he enables us to withstand, not to get wearisome or tired or fearful. Because fear is about false evidence appearing real. It's forgetting everything and running. Because sometimes when we get into trouble or difficulties, we want to run away and hide. We want to forget everything that God has been teaching us in his word. So that's why we need to know who he is. And so to those who are called according to his purpose, verse 29, says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of his son. So this is he's going to be talking about, he's wanting to conform those who love him, right, to the image of his son. And so sometimes when we go through difficulties and sufferings and trials, it's not always Satan, as some denominations will say that it is. It's not always Satan. And I could back that up to scripture, right from Genesis to Revelation, that it's not always Satan. It's God. He allows certain things, but he also encourages us to and uplifts us to help us get through those things. It's not always Satan. Because God is trying to conform us to the image of Christ. And when we go through trials and tribulation, sometimes we get really proud. We say, oh, I got this. I could do this. I could do this in my own strength. When we get into trials and tribulation, we realize we have to humble ourselves. That it's him that actually lifts us up. It's him that gives us his strength. It's him who gives us our peace. Right? So sometimes he's wanting to, he wants to form humility in us, humble us. How many of us like being humbled at times? Right? Do we have a, to be like Christ? Christ humbled himself. He yielded to the Father's will. Are we willing to yield to the Father's will in our lives? In trials and tribulations, you realize, man, I can't do this. Man, I'm facing some stuff, but I don't know how I'm going to get through it. So actually get on your knees and pray and seek from the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. He brings humility into our lives. Pride is one of the things Satan just loves to use, to allow it to be, you know, building in us. Self-confidence. My confidence comes from Christ, who enables me, so that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 says, moreover, who he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those whom he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. So we know the Lord has our best interests at hand. Is our love for him growing more? I know I think about in Revelation 3, it talks about the Laodicean church. In the last days, they were lukewarm. They loved God, but not truly loved God. They loved a lot of things of this world, and they loved God some other times. I pray that our hearts aren't lukewarm. We're going to read 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7. Before we really get into the word. So 1 Peter 6 to 7. In this you will greatly rejoice. Do we rejoice when we go through trials and tribulation? Not most likely. A difficulty, right? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, that's why we go through trials, are we genuine in our faith in Christ? It's easy to trust God when things are going good. It's easy to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if your life doesn't depend on it. But it does depend on it. Our eternal life depends on it. Do I have genuine faith in Christ? In Romans 8, 28, it says, we know. Do we know that we have faith in him? Do I love him more and more than ever before? Being much more precious, so genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold and that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to be to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we know we are tested by fire. By fire, it actually, I know for my day job, we melt stuff. And so when you melt lead or any metal, the impurities come to the top. Right? And you skim it. Think about when you are being through the fire. The impurities, the things that are holding on to you, will come to the surface. Kareen talked about John 15, 1 to 2. God, the Father, is the gardener. He prunes and trims the branches in our lives. So through fire and trials, he's pruning us. Even though at times we do not like that, we find it difficult. But is my faith and love in Christ growing? Am I dependent more on him? Well, let's look at Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or anything created, nor or other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hebrews 12:5 says, I would never leave you, nor I forsake you. God is always with you. We can't go by what our feelings say, but we have to know what the Word of God says. I think about the persecuted church. We know the persecuted church right now is growing. It's just booming because they know what the Word of God says and they're applying their faith in Christ is growing. We know persecution. Look at the early church in Acts. It was dispersed. It grew, reaching the world. Sometimes trials gets us out of our comfort zones. Trials actually gets us out sharing the truth of the gospel. We could be like the Dead Sea, have this inflow in a fresh water with all this nutrients, but no output. Stores all of it. Gets sluggish. This doesn't store it. It stores it, but never putting it to use. Right? You know, the hope, what stood out in those verses, Romans 8, 36 to 39, what stood out to you? About hope. Hope is really, in essence, what this is all about. It's talking about the hope that is assured hope that is found in Christ. Not the assured hope that's found in me or you, but assured hope that is found in Christ Jesus. The hope of the believer is not that we will escape distress or peril or hunger or slaughter, that Almighty God will make every one of our agonies as an instrument of his mercy to do us good, refine us, transform us, that we would reveal the life of Christ in this dark world. We are his light. He lives, everybody who's born again has the Holy Spirit living in them. We have the good news of Jesus Christ in us as we share the good news to those who are in this world who do not know Christ. I think of Joseph, right? He's a good example. He was sold in slavery by his jealous brothers, falsely accused of trying to seduce his master's wife. He was in an Egyptian prison. And you see, through all his, when he was sold into slavery, how God's hand was still on him. Right? Through every step of his life, what the devil meant for harm, God used it for his good, for his glory. What Satan tries to bring into your life to harm you, God will turn around and use it for good. Right? It doesn't mean I go out and do whatever. Joseph and other people were doing what the Lord asked them to do, to stay faithful. Right? There's consequences to our sins. I'm not going to neglect that. Don't think that's persecution because you went out and did something that was wrong. But if we are following the Lord, trusting in him, and bad things happen, we have to realize, Lord, What are you trying to teach me? How do you want me to grow from this situation? You know, even at the end, right? He was sold in slavery. Joseph became the second highest person in the world at that time. Second one in command. And yet, when his brothers, just think about how his brothers would have felt when they came and realized who he was. God had a time and a place for him because there was a famine in the land. And God caused his brothers and that to go to him. And God helped. And he saved his family. Sometimes we get our minds off what the Lord is doing. And we really put our thoughts on the issues. We kind of lose our direction. We really put our every thought on the situation, rather than what asking God how what are you trying to teach me in this? In Romans 8:29 it says we're predestined. It means something that is predetermined. God predetermined situations in our own lives. What is predetermined in this particular verse is that every believer will become conformed to the image of his son. This is what happens, that you become predestined to conform to the image of his son. So every trial, every tribulation, he will use it so that we become conformed to the image of his son. He uses what was, even think about when you are not a believer, the things that you did, right? They were wrong. But if you allow God to use those and give God glory, you can actually speak how God delivered you from those things to those who maybe not know Christ. Or even share when you had a rocky marriage, and God's like, share how I helped you through the rocky times in your marriage to other young people who have just got married. Because we know marriage is difficult. It's not a cakewalk. You got two different individuals, two different attitudes, two different perspectives. We see things differently. But do you think of the marriage as a refining part? I could easily live by myself. Right? Where's the refining in that? Am I going to fight with myself? Hopefully not. That'd be kind of a terrible thing. Right? But God really wants to conform us to his image so we become more like Christ every day. That's why sometimes it's difficult people in our lives, to actually help us to grow. How am I going to perceive that when I have somebody difficult in my life? Am I just going to ignore them? Am I just going to rub them off? Because sometimes those difficult people are revealing things, what's happening in your own life that you can't see. So if your wife's rubbing the wrong way, maybe you ask, Lord, what are you trying to reveal to me? Right? So God uses and utilizes every circumstance to accomplish his purpose. Our choices are real, but no matter what we choose, God purpose to conform believers to his image. Clearly, one way we could conform to the image of Christ is to learn obedience through difficulties, trials, and circumstances. And character. What is your character like? I know that's what we're doing on Tuesday night. What is your character? How is your character? Because a lot of people say, well, I'm this. I'm a pastor, I'm a leader, I'm a deacon, I'm at this whatever assembly. That doesn't really mean anything. What is your character like? Is your character becoming more like Christ? What's your character like? When your character is not lines up to the Word of God, then you're not really being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who's convicting you of sin and desiring you to become more like Christ. So do we say, well, that's Satan. Satan's just doing this to me. See, that's an easy cop-out. Right? A lot of times you hear that. Oh, Satan's attacking me today. Is he really? Or is it God really pointing something out in your life that needs to be dealt with? Right? It's easy to give somebody, we always blame somebody else. Rather take ownership of what is happening in our own life. It's easy to push the blame. Well, my wife did it. My kids did it. My work is doing this to me. But what is God trying to show you in these trials? He's trying to reveal your character. Do you truly love him? Do you truly desire to depend on him? Are you desiring to grow with him? Are you truly wanting to be led of the Spirit? We sing this, Lord, I want to be led of your Spirit. Lord, use me. We sing all these things. It's a head knowledge, but is it a heart thing? Does it really get into your hearts? Because it to be getting into your hearts, we'll be transformed, become more like Christ. Am I more like Christ today than I was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago? Is the love of the Lord growing in my life? Or am I staying the same? That's between you and God. We have assurance of God's purpose. We know. Anybody who truly knows of the Lord and his word will gladly acknowledge this is true. Do we know that his word is true? Right? Satan will say, did God really say that? Satan will try to deceive you. Which voice are we listening to? You know, as we look back over our lives, we see examples of how God worked seemingly tragedies together to accomplish his perfect purpose in our lives. We can see that. As we pursue the pages of scriptures, there's numerous illustrations of how God used what was going to be tragic for his glory. Right? We live in a fallen world. God will use everything that Satan tries to bring into your life. So he tries to tempt you. Satan will try to tempt you. You bring things into your front of your face. What we do when those temptations come? What do I do when temptation comes? Do I run, like Joseph, away from those temptations? Or do I go right into those temptations? I'll skip that part. Maybe not. I know there is a teaching, it's called the faith movement. They will say, like a Joel Osteen says, God has this best purpose for your life now. He doesn't ever talk about sin. He never talks about tribulation. He never talks about difficulty. He's always talking about, and there's other faith pastors. They're not pastors. They're sheep. They're wolves in sheep clothing, leading millions of people astray. They're saying these things, that you will never face difficulties. He always says, if you're a child of God, you will always have health, prosperity, and he will heal you from every disease. That's not from God. He doesn't heal everybody. He doesn't give you prosperity. He wants you, your heart to prosper rather than your bank account first. It's always God first. Prosperity, when the Word of God says what needs to prosper in your life is your relationship with God Almighty. Your relationship with Jesus needs to prosper and grow. God is first. Not your wallet, Not what you have, not who you are, but God in your relationship needs to prosper first. You know, if that was a true gospel, we will see people converting to Christ for all the wrong reasons. Right? Because they don't know the true Christ. They only know this Christ that gives them the best life now. But meanwhile, we know in Romans 8:28 says, he uses all those things, your trials and tribulation, to conform you to the image of Christ. If you have the good life now, will you be transformed, become more like Christ? No. Because you'd be happy where you're at. You would not be dissatisfied where you're at. This is why in Romans 8 talks about your yearning, your longing, your crying out, because we're waiting for our glorification, our body glorification. We're waiting to be face to face with Jesus. You know, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But what you feel, trust the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Right? Do we have a biblical view of what the gospel says? Or do we have a man gospel that we believe? These are the questions. I like asking questions. Right? So don't take it personally. I ask myself questions like this. Do I have a biblical view of the gospel? Or do I have a biblical view of what man says the gospel means? Do you have a biblical worldview? Most believers do not have a biblical worldview. They have a worldly Bible view that is very not biblical at all. So God has a plan. He sees the whole picture. He gives us his promises. He gives us his strength, his peace, his joy, and carries us through trials and difficulties. He reminds us that everything happens exactly when it should. Not by chance or irony, but by divine plan. You know, I got three or four things that I'm going through. And I think, Lord, how are you going to get me through this? You know, the thing that troubles me is like, Lord, why are you trying to teach me in this? Right? So I'm dependent on the Lord. And I could get carried away about the things that are happening in my life now rather than looking to the Lord. So this really is speaking to me, Romans 8:28-30, for my life for the last few months. How do I view adversity? How do you view adversity? How do you view that? John 15:1-2, it says, you know, the Father, he is the gardener. He prunes the branches that are not bearing fruit. Because he wants to produce so that we can produce more of his fruit. Become more fruitful. So through these difficulties, pruning us. Sometimes we don't like it. Adversity changes how we think. Sure does. Doesn't it? Right? Will we grow in faith in Christ? The biblical Christ? Not the worldview Christ. If you ever look up what progressive Christianity is, that's not the gospel. That's contrary. You see a lot of churches moving to progressive Christianity, which undermines the foundation of Scripture. You could get on progressive Christianity, you see it in a lot of churches now. A lot of big churches, a lot of mainstream churches, teaching progressive Christianity. Do you see that? By the words, they twist words, they twist the meanings. We have to be like a Berean and test and see, are they truly teaching the Word of God? The Word of God, without compromise, will set you free. A watered-down gospel will not set you free, but keep you in bondage. So if you look up what biblical, you'll be shocked. We know that there is a personal God behind it all, leading us by His Holy Spirit, directing our steps in our path, so we would grow in confidence in Christ, that we would die in our old nature. Sometimes we like our old nature, don't we? It's so comfortable, so easy. Man, this old nature feels like it's like a snuggly. Nice, comfortable blanket. Right? Some of us have one. But He wants us, the Lord really wants us to transform us, to become new, to put on the new nature, to become like Christ. So trials and tribulation, difficulties, some sufferings. So we become more like Christ. As we read in Romans 8:28, must be interpreted from the eternal perspective, not a temporal perspective. What is the purpose? You got to think about eternally. This world's dying. This world is getting worse and worse every single day because of what? Sin. And because Satan still reigns this world. Satan still has authority over this world, and he has authority over those who do not know Christ. And he blinds people who do not know Christ to follow his, who drank his Kool-Aid, believe his lies. So do we have an eternal perspective? How God wants to keep you, drawing you closer to Him so that you know Him personally and intimately. No matter what happens in your life, will I still trust Him? I know believers who had cancer, they asked for healing. God never healed them from that. But they still glorified God in the moment. And they brought people to know Christ as their Savior. My dad would never have been a born-again believer if he didn't have tragedy of a disease in his life. I know other people. If you don't get healing, you're going to die. We're all going to die anyways. But where are we going to end up? I'd rather be in heaven with my Lord and Savior. We shouldn't be having a fear of dying because we're already dead to our old nature. We're alive spiritually. Right? When you wake up tomorrow, if you wake up, you're here. But say you wake up and you're in heaven, would you rather be in heaven than here? So why do we not? We're supposed to be still teaching the Word of God. We're supposed to be praying for the lost. We're supposed to be doing what God has called us to do here, but we long to be with our Heavenly Father. So we cannot neglect our calling. We're here for a purpose and a plan. God still wants to use you. He bought and paid for you. You are owned by Him for His glory and for His purpose. So do we believe in His promises of God, even when things look impossible? You know, trials test our faith. Do we trust God even when we do not understand His ways and working in our lives? Do trials test our love for Him? Do I really love Him? Trials test our endurance. Am I going to continue to endure? Am I going to just give up and run away and hide and turn on the TV? Or am I going to get on my knees and pray? First Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. As we come to church, we share in our difficulties. Right? Hopefully. So we can pray for one another. If you don't share what's going on in your life, how can I pray for you? It's not a gossip session. Right? It's actually, how can I pray for you today? In which way does, what difficulties are we facing? Are we truly going to share? You know, don't have to go into great detail or whatever, but do I really trust the people that are called my brothers and sisters? Do I trust the ones who are in the body that I'm fellowshipping with? Or am I too afraid of looking foolish? Or is there pride there? Those are some of the questions. You know, the life of Paul is an example of endurance. Right? We see that in 2 Corinthians 11:24-27. Paul shares what he endured for the gospel. He was whipped 3 times, 39 times each, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, and he counted all that was for the gospel. Right? The other apostles, they all suffered. And they did it because for the love of the gospel, because of the love of Jesus Christ. So when we face trouble and tribulations, do I praise God for it? Maybe not at first, right? But if we want to be honest, we should be honest. Not at first we don't. But he's teaching us. He wants us to become more like Christ. To be more dependent on him. Trials can be a test of humility. Trials can be a test of our sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord? If the Lord has called you to be, I don't know, well, I think even for myself, I would have never thought I'd be a pastor. But my heart for him, I said, Lord, when I was a new believer, I said, Lord, I want to do things for you. I didn't care how much money I make in my jobs. I wanted to be more in the ministry. Eventually, my heart turns more to the ministry, to be sharing the gospel to others, to be a teacher. What is God teaching you? What is in your heart that he's speaking to you about right now? Is he putting in your heart to teach young folks, to be a mentor in their schools? I know Black Falls are asking for mentors, godly mentors. Do we have a longing for the lost? Are we willing to be used at the food banks or houses or whatever? Are we willing to put ourselves out there? What has God called you to do? Are we willing to put ourselves out there? So trials can test our obedience to God. Are we willing to obey God even when he commands us to do what we do not like or we wish to avoid? Right? Sometimes we don't like it. But are we surrendered? Lord, here I am, use me. It's a heart condition, isn't it? You think about Abraham. Abraham was tested. Job was tested. Daniel was tested. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were tested. Even when they knew it was death, God always prevailed in their lives. He revealed himself. Naomi and Ruth, right? The disciples, Israel, when Israel is going through was brought out of Egypt in the desert. God had a lot of things that had to be taken out of them because they had a lot of false gods. Sometimes we are in a desert and God is revealing things in our lives, maybe idols that we have built up in our lives that have a hold of us, right? So how do we view difficulty, adversity? How is my character today? Is my character growing? Godly character. Is more of Christ being revealed in my life? Am I truly letting go of things that draw me away from Him? These are good questions. Right? A lot to ponder. Sorry for not a warm, fuzzy, message. I would fall asleep. We don't need, this is eternal. Right? Usually God calms us in the storm. Have you ever found out how God calms you in the storm? Rather than calming you before the storm comes, He calms you in the storm. He lets the storm rage around us. However, as we look, depend on Him for strength, He keeps us calm, gives us His peace and His joy. God has a plan. What is that plan? Verse 29 of Romans 8:29. For He, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to His image of His Son. This is the reason. This is the why. If you ever ask, Lord, what's the why in this? Remember Romans 8:29. He also predestined to conform us to the image of His Son. This is what some believers ask. I don't know why am I going through all this difficulty. I don't know why this is happening to me. I must have did something. Well, maybe God is trying to conform you to the image of His Son. That's what He's doing. Am I truly going to allow the Holy Spirit to conform me more to the image of His Son? Ask me the heart. Am I going to allow Him to do that? Am I going to take hold of that? Am I just going to put up a wall and harden my heart towards Him? Am I going to become bitter and resentful to God? Sometimes believers become really bitter, resentful towards God when trials and tribulation happen. And it really reveals, did they even trust Him in the beginning? Because maybe they believed in this wrong message that nothing bad happens to a believer. God allows things. He wants us to predestine. He predestined to conform us to the image of His Son. James 1, verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Lord, help me to be joyful. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect in this context is being mature. He's really speaking of being mature. Right? He's speaking that He wants His children to be matured. Not to be on milk, not to be bottle fed, but becoming mature and established in the Word of God, allowing Him to work in and through you. We know John 3:16-17. Right? I'll finish with this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one begotten Son. Right? What's verse 17? I don't have it up there. Eternal life. Yeah? So the death of the death of Jesus on the cross was part of God's plan, even before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that? Think about the cross was a cruel way to die. Christ was our propitiation, his perfect life, atoning, substitutory death, that Jesus satisfied the wrath of God against our sin. Jesus died in your place in the death that we deserve. Think what he went through to save, to be that propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for a world that did not love him. For a world that does everything in its power to say that he doesn't exist, right? He doesn't, they try to do everything to say contrary to who God is. God is a very merciful, long-suffering God. He loves you. He loves the people in this world. And he gave his one and begotten Son to be an atoning sacrifice, to be a propitiation for sin, so that people could come to know him as Lord and Savior. From Genesis to Revelation, talk about repentance. Romans, was it Romans 3:23? For we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We all need a Savior. We all need a Redeemer, and that's Jesus Christ. He died for you wholeheartedly. He went to the cross with love and knew what was going to happen. He says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. So when we go through trials, ones that we didn't cause through sin or whatever, like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me this? Without the cross, there is no salvation because there would be no redemption. Through his death, Christ paid the ultimate price. Jesus purchased us by his blood, redeeming us from punishment and impeding death we deserve. Instead, Jesus gave us his abundant life through his death and resurrection, Christ's atoning sacrifice. We, as believers, receive redemption. Do you believe this? Do you believe that you've been redeemed? Do you believe that you've been adopted? Do you believe that you've been reconciled? Do you believe that you received Christ's holiness? You went quiet. Do you know when we talk about that? So we know that we fall short every day and we sin every day. It says, repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess with your mouth, right, if you confess your sins, right, you need to confess to get right with him. You're not going to be perfect until we meet him in the air. So do we receive Christ's holiness? Do you believe that you received his righteousness? Do you... And also because of his death and resurrection, we have become co-heirs with Christ. See, sometimes it's easy to believe the easy stuff. But do we believe that we're sitting right now because of Christ? We are co-heirs with Christ. Do you believe that you're an ambassador in Christ? So an ambassador, think what an ambassador does. He represents the country that he's from, even though he lives in a different country. And where do we live? In a different country. Our home is not this world. Our home is in the kingdom of God. Right? As we are here, and people say, how are you getting through this trial? How are you getting through this difficulty? How are you going through this loss of your family or a loved one? How are you getting through this time? And what's your answer going to be? the Lord. He's the one who gives me strength. He's the one who enables me to get through this. I feel like running away, but he's upholding me and helping me to face these difficulties. He showed me how to be walking in humility, that I don't have to depend on myself, but I depend on him. That I desire to grow with him. It's not in vain that he does allow these things. Because we know what Scripture says. Romans 8:29. Father, we thank you that you are in control. And Lord, that we are not. And Lord, we know your ways are your ways, and your thoughts are your thoughts. And Lord, help us every day to spend time with you so we would know you intimately and personally. That Lord, no matter what fear, no matter what trial or tribulation that we are going through, Lord, that we be utterly dependent on you rather than on ourselves. Father God, I thank you that you have given us all things necessary for life and godliness. That's already been given to us. So Lord, help us to apply your word, to allow you to work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be teachable. Help us, Lord, to be in love with you, to be overflowing with joy and gladness. Lord, we thank you that we are learning to trust you more and more every day. And I thank you, Lord, that you know the beginning to the end. I thank you, Lord, that you see the whole picture. And Lord, we only see the piece of that puzzle moment by moment. But Lord, help us to see more, to understand and trust you more all the time. Lord, I pray for your protection over our minds, over our hearts. Lord, we know, Lord, I apply the blood over us. Lord, that we put on the full armor of God. Protect us from the scheme of the enemy that tries to bring in doubt and shame and try and make us worry about things. Lord, help us to go into prayer, to be on our knees, looking to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're finishing. If anybody wants prayer, we're here to pray. And yeah.
We'll do the very last one, John. I hope that every one of us